Then they'll put traffic in and out there. They might be able to put in them.
Do I need to call for the table? All I'm going to do, do I need to go by each hot dog? And I ask for a state of emergency. Can we table all applications for special acceptance and variances?
I call this meeting to order. Bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, dear Lord. And Lord, just thank you for allowing us to be here, dear Lord. And Lord, just put a special hand upon the ones that's lost a lot of things through this storm, dear Lord. Some people have lost everything. Lord, just put a special hand upon them, dear Lord, and just help them understand and help them take 1 minute at a time and one day at a time, dear Lord. Dear Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us and help us make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of August the 17th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the emergency meeting August the 27th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the emergency meeting September the 1st.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Sheriff, it's your turn.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lead off. Thank you, everybody in this room. I know there's a lot of components and partners that's not here, and I want to thank them for not being here. But what we have faced as a community and how we have stand united as a front to overcome and battle through probably the worst storm that everyone in this room has faced. And I see some wisdom in this room. And from listening to them, I can't thank you enough for the support. And we still got a long ways to go. And when we're tired, back to sleep, but thank you. And if we'll continue to stand on that for our county, united, there's nothing positive that we cannot overcome together.
Amen.
And I'll go ahead and say it now. If there's any need from a law enforcement standpoint that we are not supplying, please, we welcome those comments, concerns. If we can make it happen, we will do our ever-loving best to make sure our county is safe for our families and our children and our businesses. I'll open up some questions when I get done with a few things I'd like to address the board with. Start off with just kind of overview, and this is more of an informational side for everyone here in the commission. Our law enforcement capacity, whenever this storm hit, we had a large contingency, and I won't go into the logistics of that, but it was overwhelming force of probably 100-plus that has been in our areas. For your folks from your coast communities, you've seen Citrus County, Seminole County, FWC, FHP, you name it, that all call went out, and they responded like they always will. They come to a community that's hurting, and I want to thank them. They're not here today. They're actually in the field. So what does that look like? The phase we're at, commissioners, we're going to start phasing some of those sheriff's offices and partnerships out. How that phase is going to look like is basically how they come in. Citrus County and their contingency, tonight will be their last night. We have to get that team back to Citrus County. They didn't have to come, but they did. Citrus County took a hard hit. We need to get them officers back home. So they'll be winding up 6 a.m. in the morning. Citrus County will be pulling out. September the 10th, Seminole County. I believe there's around 31 to 32 of those. They'll be shifting back out on 6 a.m. September the 10th. That'll leave us with a contingency of FWC, and I'm holding them last because they have the most water assets for us in case we run into something. We need to attach the mortar. And also, they have had a stronghold on our waters from the town of Suwannee all the way to the Steinhatchee River and shared assets with Taylor County to stop that looting. And I don't want to give up that ground that we've owned and give it back to an open end. We are fighting looters. Not only at night now, just before I walked in, we got two more out of the town of Suwannee, so that is a concern, and we'll continue to fight that fight. The FWC will be here till September the 14th. If we have any questions, commissioners, on how that rollout's going to look.
Nice.
So what's going to happen after September the 14th? Dixie County Sheriff's Office, as a body, has went back to some normalization because we've had school starts, started back up, courthouses started back up, and to get our folks back home so they can start having some days off. Sheriff's Office and those deputies put their heart into this county and still didn't have power, have holes in roofs, and we had to get them home. So I want to commend our staff for that as well. So I had a verbal agreement so far with FWC after the 14th. I believe we'll be to a point for FWC to be able to do what I call day work in the North Central Florida area. And what that'll look like is I'm going to request two officers day and two officers night for each one of our coastal communities to help us overlap in the direction we're going. If we don't, if we can hold it with that, we'll hold it with that. Mr. Garner?
Sir?
If we get to that point and we need to put another mission in for state components, we can't hold that coastal front, what would that look like to put another mission to roll another support team from the ADOC side to come in to help us?
24 to 48 hours. Depending on where they can get those resources from, they may do like they did in the past, give us a small contingency of FWC, FHP officers, and then bring in a mutual aid call out to the Sheriff's Association to get deputies in.
Okay.
But minimum 24, max 48.
So that will be our contingency plan for our law enforcement package going into what I'm calling phase three. At that time, right now we're in what we call phase two because that's the way the rotations have ended. Next, Dwayne, I'd like to address the chairman and you as well, now and the board as a whole, but to help me navigate some action for the board. Town of Horseshoe, I believe, is going to pull their curfew out September the 12th at 6 a.m. That was action done for the mayor. Just received that information prior to coming into this meeting. And I would like to have a conversation or commissioners to look at that to see if we can mimic that. I think that's a good timestamp to see what that looks like, if the county could shift into that. September 12th at 6 a.m., moving the county and lifting that curfew on the side of it. But also with that, to give the sheriff, give me the ability in case we do have a over that echo, that information is going to echo. And like I said, we're still fighting on all fronts with that. We've got folks from Wisconsin all the way to Manatee County that is chasing these storms, coming in as tree workers, day workers, and all they're doing is moving about during the day, and they're refining their skill sets between them realizing there's a curfew out. So at dusk to 10:30 is where we're doing our most work at. But I believe as the counties, the coast communities come online, getting water, I believe we're past the no border, aren't we?
Boil water notes have been lifted.
So I'm thinking this is ability coming to our coast communities, we should hold it, but just in case we need to roll back into a curfew, I'd like the board to discuss and maybe take action to give authority to the sheriff's office and what that would look like. I would communicate that with Dwayne and we'd give our folks, you know, much notice. Looks like we got a 24 to 48 hour window of the time we realize we can't hold it to roll those assets back in before we reapply.
Why don't we just go ahead and make a motion and get it decided?
Yeah, if you don't mind, let me facilitate that in two different approvals, and y'all can go through the discussion, if I may. So I would request board approval to discontinue the current curfew resolution number 23-93 on September the 12th at 6 a.m.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
And with that said, I would ask board approval to allow Sheriff Butler to reenact the curfew during this local state of emergency as needed or if needed at all.
Motion. Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Dwayne. That's all the business I have for the board. I'd like to open up. I know there's a lot of business to take tonight. If there's anything that I can help answer or get answers to, Commissioners, is there anything I can help with?
I have something, but I think it can wait until the next meeting, and I'll get with you on it.
Okay.
It's something to do about sailboats and Stinghatchee River, most of them's on the Beach County side, damaging our bridge and property.
If I may, I would take just a few minutes of your time and try to explain that. I had some conversation with FWC already. They have a derelict vessel team that's already taking action and are locating them and understanding what that looks like and to fast-track those derelict vessels, finding owners, not only the sailboats, but through our community. I've been part of that team on the fast-track side of it. They'll give our folks just plenty enough time and resources to get their boats, but if it's truly a derelict vessel, that sounded like through them, but your answers will fall in the FWC side of it. We had that conversation in the meeting with them yesterday. They're already on top of it moving forward. But to get the true answers, I would direct the commissioners to reach out, facilitate with the Lake City office there. They can give you an accurate statement of where they're at on that mission.
Thank you very much.
Take
that information for us, please.
Is that curfew lifting for all the coastal communities or just Horseshoe?
So resolution number 2023-93 for Dixie County was for Swanee and Gina.
Okay.
Horseshoe is their own entity, and I think the sheriff was saying they lifting it as well at the same time. We're just echoing that September 12th at 6 a.m.
Just to have some consistency throughout. I'll reach out to Taylor County and what it sounds like tonight, I'll put that to Sheriff Padgett and their team, so they don't have any conflict at the bridge. They've been pretty well mirroring what the commissions has made decisions of, so we can have that continuity in Gina and Cena.
Well, the sailboat gets to, I have spoken with Taylor County Commissioner, and he's on board.
I think that will be going in a healthy direction. Your answers are going to be in Lake City office in Tallahassee in that department.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Anything, I know we've got a short amount of time, anything that any quick questions or things that I can help the audience here with today. My heart is transparent or something we can do better.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'd like for you to reach out to those agencies that come to our aid and let them know that we deeply appreciate them coming to us and helping with the situation.
There's an ongoing roster for all of the law enforcement that's come here, and when it comes time on the back side of this, we'll reach out to each individual that was here and show our appreciation.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks.
Need a motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Chairman, on that public hearing, I would like to, due to the local state of emergency, is to table all special exceptions and variances at the September 18th meeting at 5:30 p.m.
Yes, that's what I was fixing to say. Early on, and if you're here, I'm sorry, but the building inspector, head man, said that he wanted them tabled because he couldn't be here. And so...
Well, there's multiple reasons.
Exactly, so multiple reasons, but so be back here the 18th, and we'll get all that taken care of for all of y'all.
And that's an evening meeting?
That's the evening meeting, yes. Yes.
Motion to table.
We got a motion to table. Second, Mr. Osteen, the table. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Hatch and Mr. Osteen.
Thank you.
Item number is correct. September 18th meeting is on a Monday. That's your final budget hearing at 5, and your regular board meeting is at 5:30.
Before we totally get out of the resolution section, we do have a second reason I would like to make sure of that.
Okay.
Y'all will be pleased to know I do not have to read y'all 6 pages of entertainment again today. I'm sorry to those y'all who are really looking forward to that, but we do have a
resolution.
I just got to read the title. This is Ordinance 2023-06, an ordinance to the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida, repealing and replacing in its entirety Ordinance Number 9404 and all subsequent amendments to the Ordinance 9404, including 9411, 9502, 9508, 09, 02, and 1201. Further, any language in conflict with said ordinance with Ordinance Number 2023-06. Providing for boundaries, definitions, objects, and purposes of the district, governing body, organization of the governing body, powers of the board, collection of rates and charges, collection with sewer and water systems, audit, severability, and providing an effective date. Gentlemen, I would ask y'all to vote on this, or accept and vote.
We've got a motion from Mr. Stevenson, second from Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Need a motion to go back to the board?
Yep. Got a motion to go back to the board from Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Anti-drug coalition. I don't think they hear.
I didn't hear from them today, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I did see that she was.
Is she in the hallway? Is
Miss Frierson in the hallway? All right. Okay. All right. Mr. Steve.
Hey there. Can you all hear me?
It's Mr. Steve. Okay. Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to. Did you all say that anything for variances or rezoning is going to be held off till the next meeting?
That is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be Monday the 18th at 5:30.
Anything right. For rezoning as well is pushed till then, right?
Yes.
Is correct. Okay, cool. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was not Steve.
I talked to him enough on the phone.
Yeah.
4 days.
That wasn't Mr. Steve. So Mr. Copeland
is working.
Is working. Okay. Mr. Bailey.
Good evening. I'll be real, real quick. Y'all know that we assessed the coastal roads and coastal drainage structures, and at y'all's direction, we produced an assessment of the shared Island Highway. I sent that over to Goins' office this afternoon, so that's been completed. If y'all need anything throughout this process, our doors are open. We're open to help in any way that y'all need. Just wanted to say that. And all other projects are ongoing and making progress, so I figure with the state of the emergency and everything, we'll just leave it at that. Unless anybody has any questions, we did submit 3 appropriation requests to Glenn's office for his drafts, and that being the maintenance facility for EMS, the library, and the tax collector's office expansion. So those have been submitted. Glenn's office, he's got those. And we also submitted the 20 seawall, the first phase of that for the resiliency grant with DEP. So that's where we're at with everything else, and if y'all don't have any questions, that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Lockyer.
The only thing that we have is with Palm Drive. We've been working with North Florida and a couple revisions there in Columbia to get that back into work. So we're looking at, I believe, Monday. We'll know more after being in touch with Dwayne and North Florida.
Okay.
So if there's nothing else outside of that, we, you know, mimic what Kellen had to say. If there's anything that Locklear can do, we are, of course, right there.
Thank you.
And with him up there, Luckner Associate has provided me today some drone footage of some of the devastation. I'll get that to emergency services for some of our evaluation and some of our paperwork, so they have assisted in the area for some of that.
Okay. Thank you. Miss Cindy,
she's not going to be able to make it tonight, but she said to tell the board that they had over 65 applicants come through the FEMA sign-up at the office there.
Okay.
So she said that's going really well. Good deal.
Mr. Freeman, you ain't got nothing? Thank you, Mr. Freeman, for everything you do. Chauncey's not here.
They're working on the coast tonight, spraying.
Okay.
Communities tonight.
Okay.
And Tim Johnson is in the field as well. All of our workers are out this afternoon.
Just Leon's out. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to take long. I'm going to give Chief Garner up here to give you an update for a really long 2 weeks. I just want to commend my staff. Most of them have worked the minimum of 96 hours without going home. One of the young men that works for us is going home today. Tomorrow will be his first day off since the storm to see his property. So it's been a long week. We've had a lot of big decisions to make, some of them we haven't made before. We've all been a little grumpy and a little short-tempered with each other, but we're here today, and I'll let him give you the information, the update. If you have any other questions, we'll try to answer them here, or you can get back to us in the morning. We'll use some more right now.
Okay.
First off, I'm going to give a little update on what we, when I say we, the county, has pushed out to our pods for point of distribution. Right now, we've issued out 167 pallets of water, 144 pallets of MREs, 25 pallets of snacks that consist of fruit snacks, potato chips, and stuff like that. That was donated from a couple of food banks in Lakeland and that area, Central Florida, and 47 pallets of cleanup kits and hygiene kits. That is not including all the personal donations that other folks have received and have brought into the area. So everything's going smooth. We, as smooth as a cattle gap, let's put it that way, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But one thing I do ask, I'm going to ask the board is we're going to need to extend the local state of emergency. I know it's not till Sunday, but while I have the board all together, I would like to go ahead and do that similar to what we did last time, go ahead and approve it now. So when Sunday comes around, it automatically connects, right, just like we did last week.
What would that number be?
Yeah, we got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. 202-396. For the record, that's resolution LSC 202-396.
Mr. Osteen and Mr. Wood.
With that, just to let you know, the sheriff, has, sheriff mentioned all boil water notices within the county have been lifted as of this afternoon. So we have potable water at all of our locations that have water systems. That's a double-edged sword right now with the town of Suwanee, because they are in a, they have a grinder pump sewer system. They have 957 grinder pumps throughout the whole community. Every one of them have to be replaced due to saltwater intrusion.
Mm.
So with that, I'm going to keep the comfort stations, and which is the showers and the toilets in that that community. We are looking at demoving the ones in Gina and in Horseshoe. because they're on sewer and they have their board water notices have been rescinded. The reason I'm going to pull those is they're looking at roughly $100,000 a week for those three units per site. That there is a chance, I mean, if this wouldn't never get declared, that we may have to flip that bill, which please don't take that the wrong way. We've gotten declared on everything. It's Category B, so we're good on that. But trying to be a steward of the funds, even though they're state funds, they all come from us.
Right.
So I'm going to start pulling those. It was mentioned, Ms. Cindy talked to Dwayne about the DRC. We have roughly, as of this evening, roughly about 1,000 residents have either signed up through the DRC, the Disaster Recovery Center, through the app, or through the telephone system. We have that site. It is running seven days a week right now, from 9 in the morning till 8 at night, 12-hour days. They're running that site. We have mobile sites approved for the town of Suwannee, Gina, and Horseshoe. And how that's going to work is they're going to do a leapfrog. Right now, they're only about giving us one bus. So it'll do 4 days in Suwannee, 4 days in Horseshoe, 4 days in Gina. And then it'll go back to Suwannee and do the 4 days. As long as the foot traffic is able to keep up with the 4 days, they may have to cut those days back if they're not getting anybody as far as the foot traffic goes in those communities. That's if they give us one. If they give us two, it'll be more days in each community. And then one of those communities, whichever the slower community is, it will go to the community that does not have one. So that is where we're at right now. I laid on your desk a few minutes ago a request for local waiver. What I'm asking of the board, Kevin just brought you to Short Highway. The estimate he sent, correct me if I'm wrong, roll over $2 million, right around $2 million, just to fix that one road. Okay? The county will have to come up with 12.5% of that money to fix that road. If we put in this waiver, that will waive any and all match that we have to for this storm. So I'm going to ask the board to do a motion that per Ms. Chana's review of the application, that myself and Darren can go with finance and fill out that waiver to submit to the state so we do not have to
come up with that money.
Our 12.5 match.
Yeah,
motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye. Okay. Just for reference for the folks that are in municipalities and school boards and stuff like that, all the storms are 75-25 unless it's presidentially declared, so a 90-10, which means the feds or whatever pays 90%, the applicant pays 10% or 25%. With a county, the state picks up 12.5%. So that's why when I say we only have to pay 12.5%, we actually pay on paper 25%, but the state comes in, cuts us a check for 12.5%, the county has to cut a check for the other 12.5%. That makes our 25% up. So I just want y'all to know that it's still, right now, it's still a 75-25 match on everything, but like with the school board, with all their costs, they would have to come up with 25%. Any municipality, it's 25% on that side. Last thing I have, you all know when I get up here, I'm usually a bearer of bad news. I want you all to also realize we are watching Hurricane Lee. It is in the Atlantic. That it is already at a Cat 3. It's predicted to go to a Cat 5, and we don't know where in the state it's going to hit, if it's going to hit the state. But it's out there. It is moving our way. When I say our way, not towards Dixie County, but to the state of Florida. So we are watching that just to be on that note. And last thing is the folks that all of y'all met from Palm Beach County that come up and assisted, and the two from Polk County, they went home today. I have two individuals from Palatka. They come in, and one from St. John's County. They are all demobbing again tomorrow evening or Saturday morning to go home. With that being said, I don't think we could be in the shape we're in right now and where we're at right now without them. So that's why you, when I mentioned to y'all before that you would see those shirts, those different folks coming in, that was them. With that, does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've worked on your issue in 20. We've got that taken care of. It's there, not to point the pen at you, but I'm holding the pen so it don't. That fuel system is there until the 15th.
Thank you.
So I'm going to keep those comfort stations down there as long as I can. I also need a point of contact, Ms. Oglesby, for the church. I need to come see you tomorrow because we talked about putting the mobile DRC in your church parking lot like we have in the past. They will, as I say tomorrow, as soon as the feds get me the land use agreement, so I will come see you to get you to sign it as a representative of the church body, and I need to get a contact for who at the Baptist Church in Suwannee so I can get their land use. So,
I won't be there till about
11:30
because he has an office.
Works for me. But they're looking at if they push everything through, possibly Sunday setting up, maybe Monday. But and I don't know. I see we have a FEMA representative here, but it's FEMA. They work as slow as molasses on cold winter's day sometimes. When it comes to some of this stuff, I was told that I would have it in my email box before this board meeting,
so I can print and bring it to you.
But I have not seen it or heard. It has not come in.
It'll be
but
next it, year.
It's coming. Yes, sir. So, but with that being said, again, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate y'all.
We appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Does anybody in the public have anything, comments, questions, or anything before I? That's all I have.
Gentlemen, before we go out of dealing with emergency situations here, I'd like to bring before the board, let me give you a little lead into this. I had got a call today. Dwayne drafted a letter which got to the Department of Environmental Protection in regards to our canal situation in our coastal community. And the attorney, or the general counsel for the Department of Environmental Protection called me. They are, his words were, getting contractors ready to come to clean these canals. Okay. So what he asked from us as a community was any documentation that we had showing that we either owned these canals or we maintained these canals. That being said, some of the canals are no problem. Some of the others are a little questionable. We do have documentation which we have gathered, which we're providing to them, showing that we have maintained these canals forever, basically, for a very long time. In support of that, back in 2016, we did a resolution for Hurricane Helene, in which we've basically done just what we're fixing, what I'm asking y'all to do, which is accept and put in place a resolution allowing the cleanup of these canals. Okay, so I will read this to y'all. I have got a resolution number assigned to it. I hope that it will go forward, but of course that's strictly up to you gentlemen. Dixie County Emergency Resolution Number 2023-97, declaring the local waterways and all canals within the borders of Dixie County, including the town of Horseshoe Beach, to be a continued danger to the public health, safety, and welfare of its citizens due to the debris that remains in them from Hurricane Idalia, and finding that Dixie County also has been maintaining the canals and finds an effective date and time. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners, the Dixie County Board has declared a state of local emergency pursuant to Chapter 252 Florida statutes, and whereas under a state of local emergency, Section 252.38(3A)(5A), Florida statute provides authority for political subdivisions to waive the procedures and formality otherwise required to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of the community. And whereas Dixie County, Florida, as a result of Hurricane Idalia, has encountered severe wind, storm surge, flooding, collection of debris in the local waterways and canals, and other potentially life-threatening conditions. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners is aware that debris caused by Hurricane Idalia remains in the local waterways and canals along the coastal communities of Chickasha County. And whereas it is determined there is immediate danger to the public health, safety, and welfare within its locations and waterways and canals. And whereas the removal of this debris is now required to protect public health, safety, and welfare of the people of Chickasha County, and whereas Chickasha County finds and declares that the following is necessary to protect the safety, health, and welfare of the people of Chickasha County. Now, therefore, the Board of County Commissioners of Chickasha County, Florida, is hereby declared through this resolution with the powers conferred by the Governor pursuant to Section 252 in the State of Local Emergency Resolution Number 2023-92 the following. Until rescinded during the state of local emergency, the county shall grant to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and any authorized contractors access to the local waterways and canals within the borders of Chickasha County to include the town of Horseshoe Beach to remove the debris therein. Dated this first day of September 2023, Board of County Commissioners and there's a place of Commissioner's Chairman's signature, Ms. Barbie, and myself. So, gentlemen, if this is something you would like to do, I'd ask y'all to make a motion and vote on it.
I recommend it,
Mr. Chairman.
Motion. We've got a motion, second. Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
I'm going to do a little discussion before we vote on it.
Okay.
Go further with it. I think we should have done this. Priority one, we have storms to clear the highway. Get it moving. These canals and waterways are the highways for fishing, trippers. They should have done been found out where these people can go back to work. The other thing is, we got all this stuff in the canals, but we got debris out of the canals, out in the wood areas, and it's just ungodly. Are the people that we're bringing in, are they going to get that debris? How are we going to handle it? We've got tons of debris on company land, just piles and piles. What are we going to do with that?
In my talking with the general counsel, we didn't get into a lot of depth. He is supposed to call me back tomorrow because they were having a meeting. And his biggest concern was he wanted some kind of assurance from us as a community, a board, that we maintained and owned these canals before they put people in them. But he assured me that they were very, they recognized the urgency of this situation. They were talking about trying to get people here a month from now. They want to get them here now. I will follow up and ask about that.
What I'm concerned about the canals, we got to get those found out. That ain't no question. But my stocks and stuff went to Butler Island. Some call it Butler Scrub. Some call it Dark Island. Those woods are so full of propane tanks, refrigerators.
And I will talk to him.
I mean, it's just, it's ungodly what's out there. And those are not in waterways. That's out on the company land in low-lined areas. Who's going to get all that stuff up? Or whose responsibility is to get that up?
Some of our conversations, Mr. Chairman, some of our conversations out at the emergency services with DOT and DEP, we have asked those questions. And right now, like he originally said, Mr. Stevenson is incorrect in the fact of the process. We was to address the right-of-ways first and the canals, and that's what's happening now.
Right now.
I will say in Hurricane Hermine, when this same thing happened, it wasn't to the extent it is now, but it was like 6-8 months later when the state and the federal lands there, where it got onto the private property, they helped clean up some, but unfortunately the county doesn't mess with that once it gets on those private properties. We will engage in those conversations, and we will turn it over to the state and federal properties to enact that in that marshland.
Right. Any more discussion?
I've got a question. The fuel tanks that were taken to Horseshoe for people to use for cleanup, is there anybody keeping any kind of control over that for the people that have no business being there, taking their gas cans and filling up their vehicles? And when they aren't helping, they're just down there taking away from the people that need it. Is anyone...
Mr. Chairman, Scott, do you want to answer that as far as how the mission was requested through the state and not us locally?
That mission for the coastal communities was done strictly through a state push. They call it a milk run. So just like the old-fashioned gentleman that come to your house and drop milk off, that's what they do. And what they should be doing is, if, Ms. Barbie, you go to Horseshoe, they take a picture of your ID, your vehicle tag, and whether you're putting it in the vehicle or in a gas can. That's what should be happening. That's what's happening here in town with our responder stuff. So how that mission runs, no ma'am, there's not. That is out of our hands completely because that was a state push mission. We have no control over it.
Well, just being there and working with those people and trying to help them and then seeing other people come in there and take from them, it is...
They are taking pictures of the tags and the lights.
When we found out that mission was being canceled today, Commissioner Hatch called me and asked me to see what I could do. I called the state fueling, their ESF side, their transportation ESF side, and he said, yes, you can do that. It's $24,000 a day for that truck to sit in each community. So each truck is $24,000 a day, and then there is no... guidance on what they can charge per fuel. So with that, if Mr. Hatch would go down to Swanee and want to fill up his truck, he could swipe his card and they could charge him $15 a gallon and it's not price gouging. Because there's nothing down there for them to price gouge. There's no moment, there's no store down there or anything. I mean, it's a shame that the residents...
Is that the same fueling company that they got in Horseshoe?
Which fuel company, sir?
I don't know. All I know is one of the Horseshoe. The mayor said that they was not going to have to pay none of that.
No, sir. What I was saying is
if we provided ourselves,
that's what the contractor would charge us.
I got you.
All right. We had a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other thing real quick. Y'all seen a lot of firefighters. EMTs, paramedics in here. Since the storm, we've had a strike team of ambulances. They're from out of state, Texas, South Dakota, different locations from all over. It's a general contract company in the state of Florida. They had about 250 assigned. We got five of them. There were some more that came with the hospital set up at Bushy Beach, but those were not part of our task force. After we realized the water problems and the lack of water due to the damages, we went ahead and called for an engine strike team and then later found that we had a tanker task force here as well, or task force on strike team. So we wound up with five more engines and three more tankers. We assigned those tankers to the coastal communities to ensure that we had some water flow. Most of you know we had a house fire in Swanee. Unfortunately, our trucks were falling off the road in the mud, stuck on the sides of the road. We couldn't get to the fire. We had to hand lay 2,000 feet of hose. I wound up with one firefighter in the hospital for heat exhaustion. I've got another one out with a busted knee right now from falling in that mud. We lost the house. We couldn't put it out. It's one of them situations we just could not get to it like we needed to. We started about 7 that afternoon, 6:30, and we got home about 3 that morning. So, sadly, it was lost. We realized the need. We went ahead and requested a strike team of engines, which is 5 engines, 4 people per engine, 2 commanders. So that's 22 people, plus the 10 on the ambulances we already had. We got the 3 tenders that came in with 2 people each and a commander. So we've had about 40 additional people within this community over the last week handling our calls, allowing our crews to rest and recover a little bit. We're going to maintain that ambulance strike team. We're running 3 to 4 times the calls that we normally run right now based on the state's information. We have released the tenders today since we got all the water systems back up in the coastal communities. Those guys have been released. They demoted a few moments ago. We talked to the commander there out of the county. They're headed out of the county. We will be demoting the engine crews come Sunday. That'll be their last day on their deployment. So you'll see those start to move out. We're going to maintain the ambulances in the hardest hit coastal communities, Swanee and Horseshoe. Gina, they have one just across the river with Taylor Silver, and quite as hard hit it appears. So we're probably going to pull that unit up here to help keep up with some of the calls that we're having in town. And that will allow my EMS and fire crews to be able for more fires if we have them, since those engines will be demobilized. But I just wanted the community to know that those people that you've been seeing, they've been in the communities, they've been on side by side, they've been out helping clean out houses. Those guys came from all over the state of Florida. We had an engine from High Springs. We had 2 from Clay County. Do you remember what those engines were? Those guys are on state strike team. I got a call from the chief of High Springs because they were ready to deploy. We asked them a few hours later. They were here within 4 hours. They've been here. They've been in our offices. They've been coordinating, keeping up with our crews, and taking care of this community as much as we have. But I just wanted y'all to know that they've been here, but that is going to start to back off as we become back to more of a normal state. So if you see those guys, thank them for their jobs here, because they've been gone from their homes for 10 or 12 days now. And they've been here working every day. They haven't had a day off. They've been in our stations every day, 24 hours a day, since they arrived. And if a call come in, they went and helped it during the day they were in this community. Today, they were at our office helping clean out our shelters and storage areas so we can store stuff from what we've had. So they've been working. I just want to give them credit for that.
Thank you. Mr. Scott.
A quick little ask, just a little bit of normalcy. Our fall grant's coming up. It's due in a few days or a few weeks, so I had to go ahead and get it submitted. It's $57,688.
Fall grant. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor? Thank you, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, buddy.
Miss Gail's not here. Holly's not here. Miss Angie.
She's not here.
Mr. Cannon.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to share a gratitude on behalf of the board to the citizens of all of our county employees and the ones that showed up. Just tremendous support that I've seen over the past 10, 12 days. With everyone, and like it always is, you know, we're very resilient here in Dixie County, and it's very evident, and I'm thankful for that. Y'all, Mr. Chairman, y'all do have a lot of good workers that responded in that state of emergency, like Darren said. All of our staff has been very amazing to me to sit back and watch them do what they were trained to do, so that's been pretty impressive. It's an unfortunate experience for me. It's been an eye-opener, and I've got a lot of experience out of the last 10 days, so I'm thankful for that. But our insurance, just to give a couple updates, I don't have any action items, but our FMIP insurance on all property, we have done the initial assessment. It's looking right now, damages around roughly $800,000 to immediate parks and boat ramps. I have a meeting in the morning to finalize that and to start evaluating and seeing what we need to do moving forward with all of our property damage. On the DOT side with this right-of-way, the bids closed at 12 o'clock today. We should be hearing back from DOT sometime tomorrow with an executed agreement on the debris removal out of right-of-ways. So I hope to get some traction on that in the next 2 days. As we've talked about, DEP has sat down in our offices out at the EOC in our meetings with Scott and Darren and Paul. We discussed, and as soon as we get this legal stuff with Chena, that's what she was approving tonight on their waterways, we should have a debris agreement for all canal systems. So that's still moving behind the scenes. But there is a lot of moving parts to this, and it's just mind-blowing of all things that we've handled in this week. And I'm very, very appreciative to be a part of it and thankful for our people. So,
thank you, Mr. Cannon. Ms. Watson.
Wait a minute. Dwayne, you said something a while ago, but I don't think you realize what that setback comment you made, I ain't seen you setback yet. You're doing a heck of a good job yourself. You throwed a lot of appreciations and thank yous around through the county like you should, but you need one just as well as the next person. Yeah. Yeah. Plus, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Paul Tuchels, you can look at his top of his head. And he's
the last couple of weeks.
Paul and Martha has helped out tremendously.
Yeah. All right.
Can I say something?
Yep, go ahead.
I told Dwayne the other day, I said, in the less than 2 years, or a little over 2 years that I've been here, you've been on fire ever since.
Yep.
Really, truly.
And he's getting better and better every day, ain't he?
Through the ringer.
I'm training to make somebody a great assistant one day.
He's still working on that.
Ms. Watson?
Yes, and I, too, have seen a lot of things, and I'm appreciative of always being openly accepted by all the board members and, you know, respected for my advice and the emergency management. You know, it's been a tremendous amount of work, a lot of coordination, a lot of things going on. And I think, you know, I heard a comment, and I thought it kind of described us pretty well. It said they'd never seen recovery from a storm of this magnitude this quick.
Yep.
And it's sort of like a little small town song. You know, it took such a rap for being a small town. It's never been in Dixie County before. So,
here's your sign, people.
You know, we are a community.
Yep.
We are each other's brothers, sisters, keepers. And when one of us hurt, all of us hurt.
Yep.
So I just think that speaks volumes for our community and our citizens in our community. That being said, and of course, I've got always one other thing of business. I've been getting some calls about some older business that we've discussed. And one of them is smoking in the parks. Of course, once we get the parks back up and running.
Is that the no tobacco?
No tobacco, yes. The no tobacco, no vape, all of that. So I have worked on a ordinance for that purpose in the many spare minutes we had.
When they presented that to us, on the smokers of parks, our main concern was the city park right here, which is controlled by the city, not by the board. If you remember the discussions of the, what was going on.
Right. And, you know, and like any ordinance we have, the real push and the real issue is how are we going to enforce it. But I do have one prepared, so I was going to ask the board, if it's your pleasure, we will publicize this and get it started for, you know, moving forward and getting it accepted.
Basically,
we are following statutes that says that we can, in fact, designate our parks as no tobacco, no smoking, no vaping. There's a typical sign, I think, out at the Little League Field that says basically the same thing that we would post in our county parks. Again, the enforcement, I don't have that answer. You know, I know the sheriff is got nothing better he'd like to be doing too, but that's one of the things that, you know, I'm getting calls. I know the manager's getting calls. I'm sure some of y'all are getting calls because I've had y'all ask me about it. So it is ready.
Gentlemen,
I defer to y'all if you want it to be publicized and move
forward.
When do we need that in a motion?
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Ms. Wood, all in favor?
Aye.
I will get that out. I'll try to get it to the advocate and get it started publishing so we can have a first reading. I do promise you it's not 16 pages. Again, you know, I don't mind doing a little reading, but 16 pages, we're going to try to restrict
and
that.
You're talking about in the parks, like, say, Gonto or Horseshoe or wherever, the whole park.
Yeah, but all county parks, yeah.
You got these people coming in with the RVs and stuff. Who's going to?
That's tobacco.
That's tobacco. So it's going to be,
is it no tobacco use or no smoking?
No tobacco.
No tobacco.
So, again, it's going to, the enforcement, that's going to be where the trick is. I'm not here saying that putting this ordinance out is going to fix it.
Hmm.
But, you know, this is also in support of our, you know, coalitions that are totally against this, and they are requesting, and I'm getting calls continuously.
Well, I ain't touching it with a 10-foot pole. Making them older gentlemen sitting down there with a cigar smoking and keeping them sand nights off of them while they're fishing, I ain't telling you. No.
Battled sand flies and in those dims, understand a little smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a smoker. But I will get that started, gentlemen, and bring that before y'all.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes. That take care of my business.
Ms. Hickamau?
The only thing I want to say is I think all of us hear negative comments about Dixie County on a regular basis, but we live in the best county there is. I have witnessed people coming together, friends, not friends, people coming from out of town, helping each other, and it's just been an awesome thing to witness.
That's it. Okay. County Commissioner items.
Ms. Woods? Miss Barbie just said that perfect.
Yeah.
Very well.
I tell you what, I got to go down there in the EOC building, and I'm very, very impressed with everything I've seen in there.
Yeah.
I know this is my first time going through this, but... And I can't name everybody on this list that needs to be named. Everybody has went above and beyond, and I'm proud to say I'm from Dixie County.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can't say it no better.
Patch.
Yeah, we need to appoint a board member in Suwanee that now that we got our ordinance and all fixed up, but actually with him we would not have had to change nothing. So anyway, I'm going to make a motion for Alan Clark to be appointed to the Suwanee Water and Board and Sewer, whatever it's called. Suwanee Water and Board and Sewer.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
What was the name?
Alan Clark.
Alan Clark. And we got a second from Mr. Osteen. Is that correct? Any discussion? All in favor?
And the next thing is, I mean, we're all going to say the same thing, but I'm going to try to say mine a little bit different. But I refuse to call one person out publicly because in fear of leaving someone out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, from the bottom of my heart, from my family to y'all's family,
everybody,
thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Red Cross man, Mr. Michael, he's been a good help to me and personally, professionally, but met a new friend.
Yep.
Met a lot of new friends.
Mr. Osteen?
I want to thank everybody for what they've done. We've been pulled from here, there, everywhere. Everyone has been awesome for us. Working hard day and night, even volunteers. It's just been overwhelming support for our county, and I appreciate everybody that's has helped. It has been a blessing. Everybody coming together and working together.
Mr. Stevenson?
I thank the good Lord for, we didn't, so far there has not been a life lost in the storm. And this is the worst storm we've ever had. I think he's looking down on us. I know for me personally, he put me in places. I followed my heart. He put me where I needed to be. The time I needed to be. And I'm so thankful for that. I've seen so many people come together and help. It's totally amazing. What this county has done in the past 6 or 7 days, it's just astronomical. We got a long way to go yet, but we're going to get there. Dixie County's a survivor. All of our coastal communities we're going to rebuild, and we're going to keep on going. And I said, I thank everybody, and just keep after it. Follow your heart. He'll put you where you need to be.
Is that it? I can't say it no better than what these four men just said it. And I thank the good Lord also. Just 1 minute at a time, one day at a time, we'll get back. It's just going to take a little bit of time. So now, it's y'all's turn. And Mr. Red Cross, American Red Cross, you, I don't need that. I see you. I'm let you speak first.
First, I appreciate the honor, and I am a come here, if you don't mind, a boy from South Carolina. My name is Michael Hesbach, and I'm serving as the elected official liaison for Dixie County primarily now. I've been in your county since Tuesday. Mandy Lemonman was the first person I met. I'd love to say that everything we've done has been perfect. We let you down. We let Scott down the night after a record number of people were in the evacuation shelter. Somebody outside of within our group decided to close it and didn't ask if they should close it. And I want to apologize for that. I'm going to stand here in front of all of you and apologize for that. I was down here the night of the storm with Mr. Scott and our local Florida leadership, and we found trail riders. We went to that site. We opened it back up as a recovery shelter. But we have a commitment here. I've been in your towns every day since then, except for the day they made me stay off. You know, I've got a bunch of statistics. I think the thing that really hammers home what I've seen, I'm an executive director. I cover Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, so I know what it means to be prepared for when a storm comes. Our teams have done damage assessment in your county, specifically in Suwanee and Horseshoe. They walked every block. They took a picture of every house that's still there, and they took a picture of what used to be a house if it wasn't there. We've done 15,000 damage assessments across Florida and Georgia. And we use FEMA's damage assessment pocket guide, which is readily available on the web. A third of the destroyed houses across our hurricane path are in Horseshoe Beach that we've been to. And so we know that the damage, we're going to start doing the, individual assistance intake on the 13th is what I've been told. I was supposed to demobilize on the 10th, and I've been extended through the 13th. And I will be leaving after that. I've got a family trip I'm going on. But I just want to say, you know, somebody who's come here who now can drive around your county without a GPS, at least getting to Suwannee and Horseshoe and to the ESC, you know, first, again, I'm sorry we let you down. And two, you know, we renewed our commitment. Our job is to work, my job is to work with you, the elected officials, and make sure that your constituents are being taken care of. And I tell them every time, it's either something that we provide, and I'll put it on the list, and we'll get a truck out there, and we've distributed emergency supplies, we distributed shelf-stable meals, or something we can influence. And so we've got a person at State USC, we had a person in your USC until today, and we work through all the other different partners out there to help make sure that some of that stuff makes its way to Dixie County. Probably the biggest lesson I've done is taught people that there is a Suwannee Township in Dixie County, outside of the footprint, but you know, it's a pleasure for me to serve you all and all the constituents here in Dixie County. Again, I wish everything was perfect. It's not, but I'm not afraid to stand up here and tell you we made a mistake. You know, because that would, I believe we have to own that, and I'll own it for the organization. But I know that the leadership here in Florida is committed to Dixie County. Ricardo Rosario, the local disaster program managers, are committed. And, you know, we want to serve you beyond Hurricane Idalia. So thank you for your time. I apologize for going over 3 minutes.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Anybody else? State your name.
I'm sorry, Bob Clipple.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, on the thing about the cleanup and the canals, could that also extend to maybe our channels? I haven't been out the boat. Maybe buoys down, markers, probably mud. It might be dangerous for boaters out there.
Right. I'm not sure how far they will go. That's one of the things that we're trying to clarify. Definitely something I would require.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I can respond. We have had NOAA and Coast Guard come in and evaluate the turn basins and the marked channels. They'll do their sonar readings, and if they see that there's any need for dredging or debris removal, they'll include that on their side. But that's coming from Army Corps and that side of the group of it.
Wasn't that kind of a public contention in the past, the channels didn't give them dredged for environmentalists or something along that line?
I think that was down in Horseshoes, probably what you're talking about, with some issues on the dredging.
20 as well. So I'm just thinking, could that be wrapped around? That could very well be debris out of those channels, things that have sunk, you know, grass paths and stuff all over the place. It's a good reason to dredge it.
Yeah,
there's so many different organizations that have to work together. And so hopefully between the sonar and everything, we'll determine if in fact there is that need. And
we're in hopes that the county, if the cleanup of the canals and stuff will go right into a dredging and cleaning those out, because how can you determine how far that debris goes down in that mud or whatever? So we're in hopes to go that route, but that's
just in case you have.
Yes,
sir. May I ask one more question?
Yes, sir.
Impose on my time. Hearing rumors, Leon's not here, about zoning requirements now for electrical poles being higher.
I can answer that. Yeah, I can answer that if you'd like for me to. Yes, FEMA code is going to be required to lift your panel box up, whatever their code is. Most of it's been floor level. But the other side to this is FEMA's not going to come in and spend money and not enforce their rules. So there's going to be a lot of meter cans that's got to go up. There's nothing we can do about it.
So it'll be the owner's responsibility?
Yes.
And that's to the base flood elevation. The
base flood elevation, yes.
I'm just curious on how that can work if you're 11 or 12 foot out and somebody go out there and turn off the breaker if it's way up in here.
That's FEMA. Most of them's going to be up on the side of your house, up on where you got to walk by. That's where most of them's going to be at.
That's going to be a challenge. Like, say, my house in Horseshoe, I'm only 8 foot up. So if I put it 13.6, I'm going to be above the roof with the meter.
That's what I'm saying.
How
can you climb up there like
this? I mean, you're going to build a staircase and go to the
elevator. I don't
know.
Yeah.
That's coming down
on me
soon,
I guess
you'll
move.
We really don't know. We just know that FEMA's going to require them cans to be in there. And they're going to be writing a lot of checks, and they're not going to come back later 2 years from now and do the same thing over. They're trying to mitigate their problem now with the money that they're spending. So they're not going to keep re-spending this money because their rules weren't enforced. They're going to write the check, and they're going to have some rules.
Thank you very much.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Ms. Carolyn.
Please state your name, ma'am. Hey, I heard a whisper down here now.
I'm
on a record.
I'm not going to tell you what it's called. My name is Carol Ogilvie. I'm pastor of the Gina Pentecostal Church in Gina. And on behalf of the residents of Gina, Mingo Acres, Rocky Creek, Olane, Bayline, we want to thank the board. And I have a two-page list here, and I'm not going to call all the names. But I will tell you this. We appreciate all that's been done. Our county commissioner has been outstanding, as well as all the others. I've aggravated Dwayne. He just says, yes, ma'am. Scott and Darren, I know when my number comes up, they say, oh, my Lord.
No, ma'am.
So we were at the church the night of the storm with a lot of the local residents. I have been there ever since, from at least 6 o'clock in the morning until 8:30 at night. We have had numerous people from all over several states. Representatives, senators have been to see us and look at the damage of our community. They have contributed to all the stuff, as people tell me, that I have in the churchyard and in the social hall of the church. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you I don't have stuff, because I do. In fact, the county told me, Ms. Mandy told me today, that tomorrow they would pick up all the unopened pallets that we had left, which probably won't be too many. So we've been blessed to have water, tarps, MREs, you name it, we've had it, except for toiletries and a lot of tissues and paper. But other than that, and I'm still expecting a truck tomorrow with paper products and batteries and flashlights and variety boxes, whatever that includes, and I've seen some ditties. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. They say it's a variety, and it could be anything from corn flakes to razors and shampoo, you know. But there's no way that this community can express to not only our county officials, our county citizens, because we've had, I'm trying to give you a real short bit, Brandon and Sarah Ross, we've had Ed Henley, we've had Steam Hatchet Ace Hardware, we've had little Melvin Corbin from Corbin Palms with their equipment to unload trucks. When we get a semi, forklift. So we call somebody and they come and do whatever it needs to be done. When I need them all jiggled around, as I tell them, they come and do it. They don't have to. These people have businesses that they're trying to run or dig out of their trash out of their house, if they have a house. So they take their time to be a blessing to our community. And I want everybody to know we appreciate that.
Yeah.
People that have lost everything they own. Our county commissioner has the walls of a house standing happy.
Yep.
His neighbors on his road have the walls some of them don't have walls. And people have come to their aid from everywhere. We've had Seminole County, well, Seminole, Clay, Putnam, Citrus. I've inherited a large family. They've all started calling me Mom. And the fuel truck that came from Louisiana was there for over a week. He went home yesterday. And our son sat down one night last week with somebody, and they figured up he had fueled up over $3 million worth of gasoline and diesel to people locally and men that were helping cut down trees or move debris or whatever. I meant from side by side to semis. He didn't care. People that were living in their motorhome, he filled them up because that was their home. Their house is gone. They're living in that. So I don't think we could ever thank the people really that should be thanked to the degree they need for all they've done for this county.
Yep.
I'm not just talking about this board and these people, but people from all over the United States.
Yep.
I've met people I didn't even know.
In fact,
one of my representatives called me and he said, I want to come talk to you. And I said, who are you? I'm your representative. I said, I never heard of you till today. I was being honest. I never heard of you. But he came and said, can I help you? I said, I'll give you a list. And I did. I'm famous for my list. I gave him a list, and the next day, guess what? A truck pulled up and they said, this is from Representative Jason Schultz. Okay. So Corey Simons walked in. I don't watch football. I don't know that man. My husband was having a fit. And I said, what is wrong with you? And he said, do you know who that is? I said, no. And he said, give me a list. I gave him a list. He delivered. He didn't have to. The representative didn't have to.
They did.
But they did. They cared. Yeah. And a lot of other people that don't have a title, they care. And I appreciate that. New Prospect Baptist, they brought us breakfast and 300 spaghetti dinners, which I never saw a box of any of it. It went just that fast. We've had people come in from all over and cook for us. We've eaten real good. We have. I mean, you would never, it's like when we had the storm of the century, he called me from Tampa, he went to get me a load of food, and I told him we were having fried fish, shrimp, and swamp cabbage. He said, I thought you always had a storm. I said, we did. But thank you from the bottom of our heart for all that you have done for us. There's no way to say it any other way. I'm proud. I can say, I'm a native Floridian. I'm a native Dixie County.
And I want to say this, Mama.
What?
Thank you for everything that you do for all of us.
That.
Huh?
He called me at 5:30 in the morning. He says, hello, darling.
Mr. Chairman, and to echo that, if she needs to get a hold of you, she will.
Oh, yeah.
I missed one of her calls early on in this, and my mama called me. Dwayne, get a hold of Karen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. She will hunt you down. If not, she'll call your mama.
That's what my grandkids say. If we were silent, call them.
Yep.
Y'all just
can't believe how people come in there. She helped them do whatever. She treated them like family. Talked about the problem. When the people left, they had a bigger spirit going up to work on their problems, and they just kept coming back. She treated everybody like family, just like she's known them my whole life. And she kept me busy.
One other thing I want to say. The little gentleman from Louisiana that was running the fuel tank, he's a black Cajun. Now, I want it made clear right now,
he's
not colored. I'm not a racist. And I asked him what his name was, and he said, you probably can't say it. I said, well, we'll solve that problem. I'll do for you like I did everybody else. You're a baby. I said, what is your name? He said, Javonte.
Yes, sir.
Carolyn is here. I've been doing this in this county since probably 1998 in emergency management. Chief Garman has been doing this since I've been here. I've heard a lot of people say this county's resilient, we've recovered, we've done well. But the reason that we have is people like that, because when this event occurred, that's the first number I asked the county manager for. She wasn't in my phone, because I know she's going to be at the Pentecostal church, and we don't have to do anything to carry her whatever we can. We can't give her everything she wants. We crossed on that mop up the next morning, too. But, you know, our hands are a little tied on what we can get, but it's a blessing for us, and takes a lot of weight off of our shoulders to be able to turn that over to someone else that we don't have to continually watch. If she needs something, I promise you she'll get a hold of you. But that's what makes this community able to recover in the manner that it has, to allow us to be able to do our job in the office without having to assign people down there to monitor and watch that. And that's, I just wanted to give her that recognition for that.
Yes.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you. Anyone else? State your name.
I got a boat there on my property there on the street.
Yes, sir.
Please feel free to get the mud off of it and use it in any manner at all.
Okay. And I'm sure if we've affected that anyway, because his property, he's actually allowed for a setup. He's donated that property for the whole community there. So anything we've messed up, we will help restore it back to its original state.
No issues.
We'll get with you. Thank you for that opportunity.
Without that pavilion right there, I don't know what we'd have done down there.
Yeah.
And that boat ramp needs to be cleaned out good, and we put a lot of dirt in there trying to clean it off. So we put it there. So
yes,
it needs to be cleaned out.
Anyone else? Need a motion?
Motion.
Got a motion. Mr. Stevenson, second. Mr. Osteen, all in favor?
Aye.
You got a blue pen?
Oh.